As we continue our camp days, our theme is the church body. As we remember the promises we make when we join the church, our presence, our prayers, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And as we connect to the church body, the presence was our heart, the intention, that we want people to know we are here for them. That showing up is sometimes the greatest gift we can bring. The greatest way to say, I love you. You are not in this alone. And prayers. I connected to the brain. For that is our thoughts that we are trying to put into action. What would be the follow through? And today, gifts. The wasteful truth. Now, I know that some of you probably looked at this and you're like, I don't even understand. It might have been a TUIT moment for you. Like, I'm going to need help. This is exactly how I wanted to spell it. That kind of the gifts are kind of the guts, right? Kind of the stomach. Because the stomach has needs. But also, where do you keep your money? Most often, people keep it around their waist. Whether it's in that wallet in the back pocket that's kind of higher to the waist, or if you just throw cash into a pocket. And even if you use a purse, whether it's like a cross bag, a over-the-shoulder, or a clutch, we tend to keep it right there at the waist. And the wasteful truth, if we look at Ephesians 6:14, that is describing the armor of God. The belt of truth. If you would please join me in our scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain this parable to us. Then he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. I have never kept it a secret. I hate talking about money. I think money is just not a fun topic. Because I have seen more families and more hurt over the handling of money. I have seen families who never speak again because of what I would just say as trivial inheritances, that the wrong item was fought over, that hearts were broken in miscommunication. I have seen companies that have started with good intention. I worked for a nonprofit. It was a company I was proud to work for. I loved the work we were doing. And as I worked for the company for 7 years, 5 years, in that last year they went from nonprofit to for-profit, and I could have almost told you the date, even though I was not behind the doors, how the intentions changed, how practices changed. I have seen more judgment over how someone spends money in more conversations than I would ever like. Even when it is for a good cause, I hear how it wasn't handled the way it could be. So when I have asked for you to share some of your favorite charities, I think it's because you have a connection to them. That either the matter they deal with, the service they provide, is something very close and personal to your heart, something you have maybe experienced, or a loved one, that you know the work they are doing is the exact work needed. I know a lot of people don't like March of Dimes, but I had a 11-week premature child. I had a niece who was born 14 and a half weeks premature. They are still both thriving. One's in high school, and obviously you've met Drew. I'm a big fan of the research they have put in. I also used to work with people with disabilities. They might not make every right choice, but I definitely, if you tell me you're going to do their march, I will support it. When you tell me about the Salvation Army or the Red Cross, they have literally fed my family. I think I have shared with you 25 years ago, I was where I lived when under a natural disaster. 25 years ago, it was the biggest one in the country. It am very saddened to tell you how many times over it has been triumphed. But I was displaced out of a flood. The 50 to 70,000 of us were displaced. Homes were lost, schools never to come back. The whole community felt the loss. But I have never experienced charity on such a level. I wouldn't relive that in any moment. But what I saw from it was amazing grace. But I also saw a lot of judgment. So when you lose this kind of house, you have people who come in, FEMA, SBA loans, and they're going to help you rebuild. They're going to give you a loan at a really low interest so you can restart your life. But they come in and they assess what you need, what needs to be replaced. And these individuals were coming mostly from Florida and kind of the southern region. And so they went through my father's garage, and we lost like a $150 push mower. That was a necessity that had to be replaced. We had like a $900 snowblower, not a necessity. It was a luxury. Now, for those of you who don't remember, I grew up in northern Minnesota on the border of North Dakota and Minnesota. It was quicker for me to go to Canada for field trips, which was less than an hour away, then go to like Minneapolis there in Minnesota, which was like 3 to 4 hours. We got a lot of snow. As a matter of fact, the reason we flooded is the river flows north, and we had received 100 inches of snow that winter. But you go on and tell my dad that that snowblower that every one of our neighbors has is not necessary. Of course, in Florida and South Carolina, I bet you don't have one, and if you do, it is quite the luxury. I gotcha. Trust me, if I wanted to get out of my driveway, I needed a snowblower much more than I needed my lawnmower. But when we don't know the story, when we don't know the needs, it's sometimes hard for us to assess. And so sometimes there's charities we don't want to give to. And some of you are like, what does the Red Cross do or the Salvation Army? I can tell you, they fed us. They were like the original food trucks that came around when people were trying to put their lives together. That we didn't have open businesses to go grab a lunch while we built the house or threw away every memory we had acquired. I lived in the basement. It was 16 going on 17. Now I know a basement here in the South means something very different. When Corey and I first were starting to date and I said I lived in the basement, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna need more information. A basement to you all means like dirt, maybe a concrete slab. It was fully furnished. It was a split level. I've learned that's a different word I can say now. Split level. I had a window. I was not in a dungeon. But see, the difference of language, it changes everything. So sometimes when we ask for something, people don't always know how to meet. But when we get specific, such as off, I need water and sodas, I can do that. And people can respond, and they're giving to something they wanted. They've been waiting to help. There are people waiting to send stuff to Hawaii, but Hawaii is like the last thing we need is more stuff right now. Right now we need shelter. And those immediate needs like diapers and food, but we don't have a place to store all of it. Also, in the middle of this horrible devastation, people were sending beautiful items. And through my church, I had a Sunday school teacher, and my mom happened to be there that day. And they had received a couple quilts. And she tapped my mom, and she's like, Susie really needs a quilt. I will tell you, that quilt still sits on my bed in rattered and tattered. Linus's blanket probably looks in better condition. But I love that, because in a moment I needed comfort, in a moment I needed to be seen and loved, I was given this blanket. When I say that this is the wasteful truth, your pocketbook tells you what is priorities to you. And I bet every one of you, whatever payday it is, food comes out of that register at some point. How much of that budget might vary from person to person. Now, some of you are going to look at your bill, your checkbook, and all it is pretty much the bills. Get the necessities, get the rent, the mortgage, the utilities, a clothing budget, food budget, and you might have a couple extra cents to rub at the end. Some of you might have charity heavy because that's important to you. Some of you might really have your water toys and you're like, nope, going camp, and that's not just a treat. I'm not a camper. I would be like, I don't think you need a $200 tent. And you'd be like, yes, I do. Well, yeah, if you're gonna actually stay in the rain and stuff, I see rain, I'm like, pack it up, we're going home. But I probably wouldn't have gone out there anyways. But see, the difference of priorities speaks to you. I know that a lot of us, and I've said it myself, let's keep the money in our country dealing with our issues before we give it away to other countries. We get protective. We get judgmental. This is what that latter half of this text I just shared with you, the woman who said, I need you. And who grumbled? The disciples. Send her away. Her yelling is distracting and upsetting. And anyone who has dealt with children, that squall, I love babies. You love babies. We all want to see the cooing and the smiles. But if you tell me they are teething, I will 5 times tell you, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Oh, that is the worst time in the world. That screaming, you can't make them comfortable. They're hurting. You want to take away their pain, and that's just screaming constant. That's how I imagine this woman was. And Jesus finally turns to her and says, I am not here to help you. I'm here to help others. And he's like, I can't take food from the children to give to the dogs. Now, first, that's a horrible example, but also very pointed, which is why I say, take from our country, take from the children's plate, to throw it at another country, to throw to the dogs. But the woman responds, even the scraps would feed the dogs. I will take what is left over. Nothing makes me more devastated in this country, how much food goes to waste when just across the street someone is starving. I love when I hear a company like a bakery We can't sell this product the next day, so we either donate it right away to a food cupboard, or like we always have it on access for neighbors to come in and get a meal. I love hearing that. So yeah, if your kid isn't going to eat the whole plate and you're going about to throw it out, why wouldn't you give it so someone could benefit? That's what that woman's faith was about. It might not be the meal we want, but it's the scraps we can use. Amen. And that when it's fighting for someone else, aren't you a little more aggressive, maybe yelling in the street? And in the beginning of the parable, when the Pharisees are saying, oh, we don't like how they approach the meal, that they're not clean. Maybe you don't like how the food was prepared, or it was out of budget, it was too extraordinary, or these people are giving good money, we need to be more fancy. And they're reminding, Jesus said, I don't care what goes in your body. That's not what forms our relationship. What does is what is coming out of your heart, the words, the mouth, the actions. I care very much about that. So if you don't necessarily like how someone else is spending their money, that's okay. Jesus is saying, watch your own pocketbook. Work with me how that should be used, those resources. And that Jesus doesn't want you to give out of guilt. He wants you to give with a cheerful heart. Our closing prayer is going to come from the 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Let us be cheerful givers.